John chapter 14 from verse 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever. So the first thing I want us to realize this morning is that the Holy Spirit is a helper. He is a helper. Jesus says he will ask the Father, and the Father will give us another helper. When Jesus talks about another, it means that there was already a helper. Do you agree with me? Jesus was sent to help us. He was sent to save us. He was sent to rescue us. He was sent to deliver us from our sins. And he was making this speech on the eve of his going to the cross. Jesus was at this point, he had finished his work and he was about to go to the cross to die for the sins of humanity. But he said that there is another helper. So another implies like the one you already know. That's another. So he says he's sending another helper who will abide with you forever. This helper is not like other helpers. You see, human helpers are good, but human helpers are temporal. There is no human being that can help you permanently. And the reason is because no human being is permanent here on earth. And in any case, human help is not lasting. It's very easy for a human being to get tired of helping you. Do you agree with me? After some time, somebody can say, now I've been paying this person's fees for the last 2 years. I don't think I can continue anymore. I've done my part. Let somebody continue from this point on. But Jesus says this helper will abide with you forever. This is not a helper that will come and go. This is not a helper that visits you once in a while. This is not a helper that shows up when you are in need. This is a helper, Jesus says, will abide in you forever. That means this helper is not planning to go anywhere. This helper is not intending to go on vacation. This helper is not visiting for a short while. This helper does not have a short-term program concerning your life. He will abide with you forever. And if Jesus described the Holy Spirit as your helper, it means that that is his ministry in your life. See, if you don't need help, then you don't ask for help. But if Jesus called him another helper, it means that Jesus, who knows all things, knows that we will need help. Are you following what I'm saying? Jesus knows that in this life, you and I will need help. We will need help to overcome temptation. We will need help to walk in victory. We will need help to fulfill the purpose and plan of God for our lives. We will need help to know the things that we do not know. We will need help to be the people that we're supposed to be, but we cannot be by ourselves. So he says, I will ask the Father, and the Father will give you another helper. In other words, a helper that is just like himself, Jesus. How many of you would like to have Jesus personally present with you, helping you in every area of your life? Let me see your hand. Wonderful. How many of you would like to have Jesus as your roommate? If Jesus were your roommate, all your problems are sorted. Is it not so? Because the day your food runs out, what do you do? You just show Jesus what is left. What will he do? He'll multiply it. He has helped you. The day you don't, assuming you stay off campus, the day you don't have bus fare, you know you don't need to struggle. You don't need to scratch your head and wondering, where will I get bus fare now to come to campus? What will you do? You just talk to your roommate. Sunil, you talk to your roommate. Will Jesus deprive you of bus fare or not? He will give you because he's your helper. Now, Jesus says that I am going away, but I will ask the Father to send you another helper, just like myself, and he is not coming to just visit you. He's going to abide with you forever. There is a teaching that some people have imbibed where they feel that they need to get born again, and then if they sin, they've lost their salvation, they need to get born again. No, that is not what scripture teaches. The Holy Spirit never leaves. The problem with many of us Christians is that we want to feel the presence of the Holy Spirit. We want to know that he is with us. But there is a better way of experiencing the Holy Spirit than feeling his presence. It is believing what Jesus said. Taking it by faith that Jesus says, this person I am sending, he will never leave you. He will abide with you forever. In the book of Ephesians chapter 1, we're told that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. We've been sealed. When something is sealed, it's like the owner has put a mark of ownership on that thing. Say, this one is sealed. This one is my own. Someday, you will graduate from Laikipia University. Say amen. Or you don't want to graduate. You want to become permanent students, professional students. Do you want to graduate someday? You will be given a certificate. You will be given a certificate, and on that certificate, it will bear the seal of Laikipia University. You cannot carry that certificate somewhere and you will not be recognized as a graduate of Laikipia because the seal is there. Everybody will know. Laikipia is putting a stamp of approval on your life saying, we have trained this person for doing ABCD. That person is employable. So no institution puts a seal on somebody that they are not proud of sending out there. So when the Bible says that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit, it is God saying, this one belongs to me. And he does not come and leave. Does not come and leave. He abides with you. That's what Jesus said. So the first thing I want you to note today is that you have a helper, a resident helper. Whether you feel him or not, he is there. Please note, I didn't say it is there. He is there. He is a person. He listens. He speaks. He feels, he relates. So we are the ones who ignore him. He does not ignore us because he's here to help. Now imagine that somebody has been sent to help you, but you don't consult him. So he is a helper and he abides with you forever. Look at the next verse. 17. Jesus says, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. So the second reality about the Holy Spirit that we need to take a hold of is that he actually lives inside. You see, when many Christians pray, we are expecting a spirit to speak to us from outside. We are waiting for a voice that will minister to us from the outside. So if you are waiting for a voice from the outside, you are 2,000 years late. Because the moment Jesus ascended to heaven, and people began to become new creation beings, they began to get born again, the Holy Spirit began to be installed in them, and he has never been recalled to heaven. Here, Jesus is speaking to the disciples. He says that you know him, for he dwells with you. Remember, he's speaking to his disciples before he went to the cross. At this point, Jesus had not yet died. He had not yet gone to the cross. He had not yet paid for our sins. He had not yet risen from the dead. So it was not yet possible for anybody to be born again. So the people that Jesus was speaking to here Peter, James, John, Andrew, Bartholomew, Philip, Thomas, they were not born again. They had been following him for 3 years, but they were not born again because nobody could be born again without the finished work of Jesus on the cross. So the Holy Spirit could not live in them, but he could dwell among them. The Holy Spirit could not live inside them, but he could dwell with them. So Jesus says, you know him because he dwells with you. But someday, he will be in you. There's a difference between somebody dwelling with you and somebody dwelling in you. The difference is that the person who dwells with you may not go everywhere you go. Another difference is that somebody who dwells with you does not have the level of influence upon you as somebody who dwells in you. Are we together? Are you following what I'm saying? There's a difference between somebody who dwells with you and somebody who dwells in you. Listen, there is a person living inside you if you are born again. If you are not born again, the Holy Spirit dwells with you. He dwells around you because he is everywhere. So even people who are not born again, they can access some dimension of the Holy Spirit because he is everywhere. But they cannot know him in the sense of intimate relationship as somebody who has the Holy Spirit living inside. As you are sitting down right here, right now, there is a person living inside you. The secret to the Christian life, the secret to the Christian life is becoming conscious of that person and following what he says. That is the secret to the Christian life. The Christian life is not about acquisition of knowledge or Bible knowledge necessarily. The secret to the Christian life is not going for seminary training. The secret to the Christian life is not becoming CU chair or a pastor or a bishop. The secret to the Christian life is being led from the inside, not from the outside. You see, for many of us Christians, the primary influence upon our lives is external. We see things and they affect us. We hear things and they affect us. We feel things and they affect us. We smell things and they affect us. We taste things and they affect us. All that is external senses. But there is somebody who lives inside. Jesus says, you know him because he dwells with you, but someday he will be in you. The moment you get born again, the Holy Spirit moved in. And the reason why he moved in is to enable us shift our consciousness from the outside to the inner. Hello? God wants to lead you and I from the inside, not from the outside. So he's there to guide you. You have a secret weapon on the inside that makes you do things that other people may not do. Everybody may be running in one direction. You are going in a different direction because you have access to information that they do not have access to. So he will be in you, not with you, but in you. And if you are born again, the good news this morning is that you have a resident internal dwelling, a teacher on the inside. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8 that as many as are led by their feelings, is it by their feelings? By who? By the Spirit. As many as are led by the economy of Kenya? No. So if you make decisions based on the economy, then there's something wrong with that Christianity. As many as are led by their pastors? No. As many as are led by their denominations? No. Many Christians are led by their denominations. To many Christians, what the constitution of the church says is more powerful than what the Holy Spirit says. Bible says that the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. So, second point is that the Holy Spirit dwells in you. It may sound like what you already know, because many of us are aware that the Holy Spirit, you are not hearing this for the first time today, but how many of us are living in that consciousness and are actually being led and guided every day in our choices and decisions by that internal helper? We have somebody who lives in us. Praise the Lord. Jump down to verse 25. Jesus is speaking. Verse 25. Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you." So number three reality about the Holy Spirit is that he teaches you all things. And when we use the word all things, Jesus is not exaggerating. All things means all things. That there is nothing the Holy Spirit cannot teach you. Amen? I said amen? There is nothing that the Holy Spirit cannot teach you. Why do we say that? It is because the Holy Spirit is the creative force, the person by which the universe was created. So he understands physics. How does a planet like the Earth and other planets hang on nothing? I hope you know that there is nothing propping up planet Earth in space. It is hanging on nothing. There's somebody who knows how that happened. If you read Proverbs chapter 4 and other chapters of Proverbs, it keeps talking about wisdom. It says, when God founded the earth at the beginning of time, he possessed me early. And it says, it is by me that he fashioned out the universe. He stretched out the heavens. Wisdom is speaking. Wisdom is a person. And that person is the Spirit of Christ. So he knows how the earth was created. Is it your geography class that he will now not have an answer, will not have answers to? When Jesus says he will teach you all things, he's not just talking about Bible study. You see, Jesus didn't say he will teach you the scriptures. He says he will teach you all things. Are you following what I'm saying? He will teach you all things. There is no subject in the universe, let alone on this campus, that the Holy Spirit is not an expert in. The Holy Spirit is the only person that knows everything about everything. To call him a genius is to belittle him. Now imagine that he is your helper. The Holy Spirit can teach you about the subject you are studying in class. I'm not saying don't attend class. If you don't attend class and you fail, don't say that one preacher came and told us I should just be in the hostel speaking in tongues and I will pass my exam. You will fail. And they will kick you out of school. But do you know that while you are sitting in class, you can be consulting the other teacher? You know, there's one teacher teaching you on this direction. There's another teacher on the inside. You can be consulting. Jesus says he will teach you all things. If you are studying statistics, he knows statistics. If you are studying biochemistry, he knows biochemistry. You are studying geography, he knows geography, he knows mathematics. If you are studying education, wow, he is the greatest educator. The Bible calls him a teacher. It says he will teach you all things. There is nothing. The Bible calls Jesus Christ in Colossians chapter 2 verse 3 the treasure of all wisdom and knowledge. Now, this is the Spirit of Jesus living in you. He can teach you all things. There is nothing that the Holy Spirit cannot teach you. And he lives in you permanently. Now, if you go to chapter 16, let's go to chapter 16. I need to run very fast. John chapter 16, from verse 7. Let me start from verse 5. But now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you asks me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your heart. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying that he is leaving them, but they should not sorrow. Why? Because somebody who is like him is coming. And it is to their advantage for that person to come rather than him continuing being here. You see, Jesus, as he was on the earth, could not live inside any human being because he was in flesh, and flesh cannot indwell flesh. But the Holy Spirit can enter into human beings and guide them from the inside. When Jesus was here on earth, he could only give them instructions and teachings from the outside. But he's saying that there is a better way. These 3 years that I've spent with you guys, and we have had a wonderful time together, there is something far better than this. And that is what I'm promising you. I asked a moment ago, how many of us would like Jesus to be your roommate? And almost every hand went up. For those hands who didn't go up, I don't know why. Maybe they are still trying to understand. This Jesus, I'm not sure I can trust him. Some of my clothes may get missing if I have him as my roommate. You know, we only see him wearing one gown. May I have nice clothes? If it becomes my roommate now, some clothes will get missing. So they are not sure. Their hands didn't go up. No problem. Jesus is saying there is something better than having Jesus physically present with you. And that is when the Holy Spirit comes. Look at it now. Jesus says, it is to your advantage that I go away. So the simple way to capture that is that the Spirit in you is of superior advantage than a physical Jesus with you. The Spirit that is in you, if you are saved, if you are a child of God, the Spirit that is in you is far better than having Jesus Christ present. Right now, if Jesus were to walk through, I'm talking of Jesus, the real Jesus, not the one that visited Kenya some months ago. I'm not talking of that one. I'm talking about the real Jesus, the Son of God, the one who gave his life for us on the cross. If he, in his glorified body, walks in here now, what would you do? What would you do? Think about it. Some years ago, we were at a retreat with a few young people. We went off somewhere to spend some time with the Lord in prayer and in Bible study and all that. And one of the evenings, I was about to share the word, and I heard the Holy Spirit say, pause, don't speak yet. And I was wondering what was happening. And he told me, Jesus just walked in. And I was looking around, I didn't see him. Then he told me, no, not in the form that you think he will show up. And then he said, I am here. I was hearing on my inside, I am here. So I started consulting. People were wondering, what's happening? This guy is not teaching. I started consulting. I said, so what does he want to do? And the Holy Spirit began to speak. He said, suspend the teaching and just minister to people. And that's what we did. But before then, I asked people, what would you do if Jesus walked in right now? And the hall went quiet, the way you are all looking at me now. Because they started suspecting me. Has this guy not come with some juju? What do you mean Jesus walking here? Now they are wondering. Then I announced, Jesus is here in person. And people started looking at each other. They started, you know, trying to see him. I said, no, you can't see him like that. You can't see him like that. But he is here. I felt his presence. I sensed his manifest presence. And he wanted to do something. And of course, he did something that night. He healed people. People were delivered. Things happened because he came. But imagine that we were so dependent on that physical Jesus all the time. We'll be looking for him to show up all the time. But you know, he doesn't show up like that all the time. Have you ever seen Jesus in the flesh with your two eyes? No. But Jesus says there's something better than him showing up. The one that lives inside. These are the words of Jesus. He said, "It is to your advantage that I go away, because if I do not go away, then he will not come." Look at the very next verse. So we're going to number 5 now. We're looking at 10 things about the Holy Spirit. The question I want you to be asking yourself as we go through this list is, how much of this person that lives with me do I know? How much of him do I interact with? How much of him do I allow to determine the course of action in my life? Is the Holy Spirit just a doctrine? Is the Holy Spirit just a theoretical teaching that I have agreed to? Or is he a person that I have a relationship with? Is he a person that determines things in my life? Those are the questions I want you to keep in mind. Verse 8 says, "And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Jesus is describing one of the ministries of the Holy Spirit. Many times, the Holy Spirit is relegated to what happens in church. But Jesus is saying, no, when he comes, he will convict the world. Those who are not believers, those who are not followers of Jesus, the Holy Spirit has a ministry to them. He does not live in them, but Jesus says, this Spirit will convict them of sin. He will convict them of righteousness, and he will convict them of judgment. So this person we are describing, he is working everywhere. Not only in the church. Not only in the lives of unbelievers. Not only in the lives of believers. But he is working even in the world. He is doing things. You see, in the Godhead, each of them had eras that they manifested themselves to humanity. If you read the Old Testament from Genesis to Malachi, you will see that the Father was the prominent one featured. Throughout the Old Testament, you will see glimpses of Jesus here and there. You will see evidences and works of the Holy Spirit. But the dominant voice throughout the Old Testament is that of the Father. And then, when the Word became flesh, when Jesus began to walk upon the earth, the Son, or the Word, was now in his season where he was manifesting himself to humanity. And for 3 years, 3 years plus upon the earth, the Son of God was the dominant figure among the Godhead. But Jesus says there is still somebody that is coming. You guys have heard about the Father, you have seen the Son, but there is somebody you have not yet encountered. And when he comes, there are things he will do upon the earth. So Jesus left. And then, on the day of Pentecost, in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came like a mighty rushing wind. And the Bible says that he filled everybody that was in the room. And cloven tongues of fire appeared on their heads, and they spoke in languages they did not learn. And then people showed up and said, "Are these guys not drunk?" Peter said, "No, they are not drunk." He said, "This that you see happening now is what Prophet Joel prophesied many years ago. That in the last days I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and people shall prophesy, and people shall see dreams." I'm not talking about the kind of dream that you get when you eat a heavy bowl of ugali before you go to bed at night. I'm talking about real dreams, communication from the very throne room of God, where you are seeing things that are hidden from everybody else. He says people will see visions. People will see things that are hidden from humanity. That is privileged access that is available to those who have the Holy Spirit poured out on them. And then the Bible says that Peter preached a simple sermon, and then something happened to the people who were listening to Peter. In Acts chapter 2, you will hear that the Bible says that, "And the people were cut to the heart." These are people who were mocking them just a few minutes ago, saying these guys are drunk. Now they were cut to the heart. They came under a conviction that could only be stirred by the Holy Spirit, and they began to say, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" It was not Peter's preaching that caused it. It was not his grammar. It was not his eloquence. It was not his charisma. There is a person that convicts the world of sin, and they have no choice but to say, "What shall we do that we may be saved from this corrupt generation?" And the Bible says, on that day, 3,000 souls were added to the church. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit has a ministry in the world to convict the world of sin. That is why when you are praying for your campus, when you are praying for lost people, both near and far, one of the things you need to pray is that the work of the Holy Spirit in the lives of those who are lost will be accomplished. I hear you are planning a mission to go somewhere. That's good. But listen, it's not your mission. It's His mission. And if He is not the one working, you are only going to go there to play games. You see, many people want to do ministry. They want to do activity. But in reality, you and I can do nothing without Him. It is the Holy Spirit that draws people to Jesus. It is the Holy Spirit that reveals Jesus to people. And if He is not actively engaged in your prayer, then there is nothing we can do. We may go there and prance around on a stage, do a crusade, and ask people to lift their hands. They will lift their hands, and you will count them and come back to campus and say, 50 people got born again, 200 people got born again. Go back there 3 months later. Those who raise their hands are the ones who are drinking. They are the ones who are sleeping around. Because they were not caught to the heart. Why? The Holy Spirit did not work. Why? We did not involve Him in every aspect. You and I can do nothing. He is the one who draws people to Christ. Does this make sense? Does this make sense? To attempt to do ministry without the Holy Spirit is idolatry. And when I say ministry, I'm not just talking about going somewhere to preach. To stand here to lead worship, to be part of the choir, to do what these guys are doing on the projector, to do what these guys are doing on the instruments, to do what those guys were doing outside as ushers, that is ministry. But to attempt to do any of that without the Holy Spirit is idolatry. To stand here and give an announcement without the Holy Spirit is idolatry. To stand here and preach a message, to even love people out there, to give money, because that's ministry. To do anything that we label as service unto God without the Holy Spirit is a form of idolatry. Because now we have become our own gods. We are saying we can do this by ourselves. I've been giving announcements for how many years? It's not just to stand here and read out some announcements. I can sing. I have a good voice. I can play the drums. I can monitor the projector. To attempt to do any ministry without the Holy Spirit, in heaven, it is illegal. A few days ago, I was reading about two sons of Aaron, people who were called into ministry. You'll find that story in Leviticus chapter 10. Nadab and Abihu, they offered to God at the holy altar unauthorized fire. And the Bible says fire came out from the presence of God and consumed them. You should be happy that we are no longer in the Old Testament. I wonder how many roasted bodies will be in church every Sunday. Because many things that we are doing in the name of ministry, that we are offering to God, when God smells it in heaven, He says, "This fire is strange. It was unauthorized. It's profane fire. This song that they are singing, we did not order it. We did not place an order. We did not ask them to sing this song today. They drew up their own list of songs and they sang it because they like it." So to them, what they call worship is actually entertainment because their flesh is enjoying those songs. Listen, if you're a worship leader, your first ministry is not to stand here and lead people to sing. If you have 20 minutes to lead worship here, you should at least spend 2 hours ministering to God in private. That is what qualifies you to stand here to lead people in worship. You see, a worship leader is first a worshiper. Are you getting what I'm saying? A preacher of the word is first a doer of the word. Anyway, let's move on. My time is running. I think I should let me jump some, because I'll just mention them. Number six, it talks about in verse 13, he guides us into all truth. Number seven, he reveals what is of Christ to us. What that means is that everything, listen to this. You will see in verse 14 of John chapter 16, Jesus says he will reveal what is of me, he will reveal it to you. What Jesus is telling us there is that everything he inherited from the Father, which is now his, the Holy Spirit is the one that can reveal those things to you. Please listen. When Jesus went back to heaven, he inherited everything. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. So nobody anywhere has any authority outside of the authority of Jesus. Every president, every prime minister, every governor, senator, member of parliament, every vice chancellor, anybody that is in a position of authority, that authority is under the authority of Jesus. And if he has not permitted them to be there, they cannot be in authority, because he says all authority has been given to him in heaven and on earth. The Bible calls Jesus he is the head of all principality. So there is no principality, whether evil or righteous principality anywhere, that is not under the authority of Jesus. I've just mentioned one thing that Jesus received from the Father. He received everything else. Now, Jesus says the Holy Spirit will reveal to you the things of him. Why will he reveal those things? So is it just to make us feel good about Jesus? No. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 8 verse 17 that we are joint heirs with Christ. Have you seen that scripture before? If you haven't, write it down. Go and meditate on that scripture. What it means is that everything Jesus received from the Father, you have a part in it. You also received. Jesus received his inheritance also on our behalf, and he has now invited us to be joint heirs, to participate in everything he has received. Now, here is the problem. You have received an inheritance so large. Imagine that one uncle of yours that you did not know, probably, who was a multi-billionaire, and then he died, but in his will, he had written your name there that you are to inherit 50 hectares of fertile land in Kitale, and it's all yours. 50 hectares, 200 hectares, it's all yours. But imagine that you don't know. Then you are living in a Mabati house in one slum area, living from hand to mouth every day, because you don't know what you've inherited. He put that will in the hands of a lawyer, and he told the lawyer, here is enough money. Find this my niece or this my nephew and make sure you read to them what is theirs now. And whatever they want to do with it, there is enough money in the bank. If they want to buy tractors so that they can farm, if they want to build estates, there's enough money in the, whatever they decide to do with this inheritance, make sure you release the money for you to be bankrolled. But imagine that lawyer or whoever was supposed to execute that will kept it hidden and then you lived all your life and you grew old and you died in penury. When you arrive in eternity and they showed you this was yours, but look at the person that they what will you do? If I'm the one, I'll beg God. I say, just give me 1 week. Just 1 week. I need to go back to the earth and find that person. I won't tell you what I'll do to him. The person that reveals to us everything we have inherited in Christ is the Holy Spirit. Jesus says he will take of what is mine and everything is his by inheritance, by right, and by merit. Jesus says he will take of what is his and he will reveal it to you. Do you see that the Holy Spirit is indispensable? Hello? Listen, you ignore him at your own peril. Imagine that you even know now that that tract of land is yours. And then the lawyer says, come and see me tomorrow. Or come and see me next week. He even empesses you the money to move from Laikipia to Nairobi. Just to come and sit down so that you can sign some papers and it's all yours. And then you don't go. Do you have anybody to blame? I'm asking a question now. Hello? Are we still friends? Do you have anybody to blame? Can you blame the lawyer? You can't blame him. The Holy Spirit is the one that reveals to us everything we have inherited. Number eight, jump to chapter 20, 21 and 22. John chapter 20. 10 realities about the Holy Spirit regarding your life. John chapter 20, from verse 21, Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. So Jesus was sent in a particular way by the Father. But here is the secret how Jesus did everything he did. Verse 22, and when he has said this, when he has said what was written in verse 21, he is going to send us now as he was sent. The way he was equipped to fulfill his ministry, he says, that's the same way I am now sending you. Receive the Holy Spirit. How was Jesus sent by the Father? With the Holy Spirit. You know Jesus, all those miracles he did, raising the dead, casting out demons, healing the leper, opening blind eyes, multiplying food, walking on water, everything Jesus did, he did it by the Holy Spirit. Acts 10, 37, or is it 38, it says that, and this Jesus of Nazareth, who was anointed with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good because God was with him. So Jesus was sent by the Holy Spirit or with the Holy Spirit so that he could fulfill his assignment. Now Jesus is saying, in the same way that I was sent, the same person I was given to enable me fulfill my assignment, in that same way I am giving you that person now so that I'm sending you to go and fulfill your assignment. I've said a moment ago that anything you try to do, you may call it ministry, you may call it mission, if it is not by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit, then you are not sent the way Jesus was sent. You probably sent yourself. And listen, it is a waste of time to send yourself on a mission in the name of God that God is not aware of. You say, but we didn't send them to go to where now? Nyeri or to Bungoma or to Vihiga or to go to Maasai Land to do ministry. We didn't send this person. Because they are allocation of Holy Spirit that they need to go and deliver there. That allocation is still with us here. They sent themselves. You don't want that. Hello? So, the point here is that the same Spirit that worked in Jesus for his assignment has been given to you also. The question is, while Jesus did everything by the Holy Spirit, how are we doing our own assignment? Because it's so easy to do ministry in the flesh. Number 9, Acts chapter 8, chapter 1, verse 8. Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Jesus said, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. What is Jesus talking about here? He says the Holy Spirit will come upon you. Remember, he promised them that when he goes, he will send the Spirit. He says, when the Spirit comes upon you, you will receive power. He didn't say you will receive power to do witnessing. Because I see a lot of people who are going knocking on doors, door-to-door evangelism, that's what we call it, or sharing out tracts. I'm not saying it's wrong, but we call it witnessing. Many of us are doing witnessing. Jesus never told us to do witnessing. He says, you shall receive power to be my witnesses. There's a difference between being and doing. The failure of much of our evangelism is that people are trying to do what they are not. We're trying to do witnessing, but we have not yet become witnesses. You see, cats and dogs and animals cannot live the way we live because they are not human beings. If you see a monkey in suit and tie, that is not normal. If you see a crocodile spraying perfume and trying to look nice, that is not normal. If you see a baboon trying to get a nice haircut, that is not normal. Animals are animals. Human beings are human beings. Only human beings can live like human beings and do what human beings do. So Jesus did not send us to do witnessing. He says the Holy Spirit will enable you, will empower you to be my witnesses. Being is what determines doing. Essence is what determines function. The point here is that without the Holy Spirit, we cannot be witnesses. Because the power to be a witness comes only from Him. Who is a witness? A witness is somebody who produces proof. A witness is somebody who brings evidence. So Jesus says He is the Son of God. Jesus says, and the world says no. Then Jesus says, I have witnesses. Watch this person's life. But when the world looks at our lives, they are not seeing Jesus. So Jesus looks like a liar. Because the person that will produce the result, the proof or the evidence that he is who he says he is, we have ignored him. I hope you know that God's greatest call upon your life is to become like Jesus. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined that they may be conformed to the image of his Son, so that his Son may be the firstborn among many brethren. That's why we talk about discipleship. It is the process that God uses in conforming us to Christ. Discipleship is not a class. Discipleship is not a certificate. Discipleship is not a committee. Discipleship is not even a ministry. Discipleship is a relationship with the Master wherein we are being changed to become like Him. So that when the world sees you, when the world sees me, they will believe that Jesus is who He says He is. We have become witnesses, but we may not have done witnessing. So we have many people trying to do who are not being. Those kind of people are not human beings. They are human doings. God's greatest call on your life is not to do, but to be. Finally, number 10. Go to Acts, same chapter, chapter 1. Finally, from verse 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father. What is that promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me? For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So the promise of the Father to you, my brother, the promise of the Father, your Father who loves you in heaven, the promise that your Father has made to you is not a big house, a big car, a thriving career after you graduate, a husband or a wife and children. That is not the promise of the Father. The promise of the Father is the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, you shall be baptized not many days from now. I come to announce to you today that you have heard what the promise of the Father is, and you shall be baptized not many minutes from now. There is a difference between receiving the Holy Spirit at the point of the new birth, when you get born again, and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, who wants to now empower you to live the Spirit-filled life. Not every believer is filled with the Spirit. Every believer has the Spirit living inside, but not every believer is filled with the Spirit. Every believer is like this cup of water here. Does it have water in it or not? It does. But many people, their water level, their spirit level is too low to quench the thirst of a needy world. There is more. Tell yourself there is more. You know, we are used to telling our neighbors things, and our neighbor is not changing. You know, you've been telling them things for many years. Tell your neighbor this. Tell your neighbor. Your neighbor is not changing. It's time to start talking to yourself. Tell yourself there is more. There is more. There is more. Jesus said in John chapter 7, 37, 38, it says, if anybody thirsts, let him come to me and drink. It says, for those who drink of me, out of their innermost being, their spirit will flow rivers of living water. And he said, this he spoke concerning the Holy Spirit, who had not yet been given at that time, because Jesus was not yet glorified. Now Jesus is glorified in heaven. The problem now is that not many of us want to drink. That's why we can go on a mission and nothing is flowing out, because we went there empty.